Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1.
Medications require eligibility and prescription. Patients on 15 milligrams of tirzepatide had an average of 21% weight loss in a 72-week clinical trial when paired with diet and exercise. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
The Survivor Specialist, Phil and Will, are back, and we are recapping episode number 2 of Survivor Season 50. We get Sela going to Tribal Council again, and we lost our second winner in 2 weeks. Excited to dive into this one. An hour and a half well spent. Loved this episode. Really, really, really enjoyed what we watched here tonight. Look, the old schoolers are playing, man. The old schoolers are playing, and I'm excited to dive into all of that. All of the dynamics going on, all three tribes, the challenges. Just, I'm ready, man. I'm so pumped. Like, this is...
Hold up. I might have to have an evacuation.
Oh, God.
I got it. Just give me...
The best part is Will might really be having one. We don't know. We had somebody. Is this the first time in Survivor history that somebody shit their pants on Survivor?
Probably not the first time. The first time that the post producers have chosen to focus it and like make it a story and make it a thing. And like, really, we spent like the first 3 minutes of this episode on Christian, like blurring out the stain on his pants. Like, we've heard about, I mean, there's the oft said, like, the curse, the aqua dump curse. Mm-hmm. If someone brings up that they took an aqua dump, they like get booted that episode. Christian survived this. It wasn't an aqua dump, but he did head towards the ocean. I am sure in a show where your body is going through it, just not eating, not sleeping, sometimes eating weird things like leaves, bugs, sour coconuts that taste like lemonade, that stomachs aren't always in the best shape, and that maybe some pants have been shattered in prior seasons. But I don't recall a scene being like, this is how we're, or an episode, really. We're going to open our episode with this. But if it was ever going to happen, it's like Christian is the obvious kind of candidate to take on the story. I think he laughs at himself. He's been self-depreciating for a while, maybe self-deprecating at this point is what you could call it. And so,
yeah, some would say,
right? Oh, you just got it. So I think Christian, to kind of hold this torch as the first like official pants shitter.
People are saying fish back in the chat, but he had gastrointestinal in distress, and he kept going into the woods to poop. I don't think he pooped his pants.
Yeah. I mean, we've heard that people are going to have upset stomachs, but like to actually blur out a stain on the pants, that is a first. And that's season 50. I mean, this really did feel like an old school episode of Survivor. Like, we're talking about the bowel movements and like where to go to the bathroom, and then we're talking about coconuts, and we're talking about who's doing enough work at camp. Or is it even okay to strategize or not strategize? I mean, these are some conversations that we had in the first 10 seasons of the show, and to have half the cast be represented by new era players, you just wouldn't think this is the kind of content you'd get in season 50. So I'm pleasantly surprised with how this season has an old school feel, especially like a lot of the quote unquote old schoolers, the 12 old era players, the original era from the first 40 seasons. I mean, we have Chrissy from 35, Devin's from 38, three players from 37. So it's not like there is like, we're just going to load up the cast with 1 to 10. Like, we have three players from those first 10 seasons, but that's the energy we're getting.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that I am most shocked about is the levity that they've chosen to go with across the board. I know that's like what you're saying, but I am shocked at that, because they've had the opportunity to make the other New Era seasons funnier. Like, you have people like Rizzo, you have people like Savannah, like, you have funny people who have had funny situations. I mean, you could have done this a little bit more, and it feels like they shied away from it. It feels like that's not the route they wanted to go. And so to now build this up as like Survivor 50, most serious season ever. I mean, we have one of the fan favorites who right now I think edgically is dominating, shit his pants in the first 3 minutes of this episode, and they have a whole conversation about it, and they look at him, and yeah, over at ChapBCC, this was the comment. It came from Omer Zahir. And if you want to join ChapBCC, go. We have a link in the chat here, so join from there. But he said, where does this put you edgically? Can you still win Survivor if you crap your pants? And I think that's a fair question. Like, is Christian just comedic relief? But then at the end of the episode, when he trips and falls, it's very purposeful. He did it on purpose so that his buddy, Rick Devins, could hide that idol or the fake idol at Tribal Council. Are they setting it up for like this goofiness of Christian is actually why he's gonna be able to pull the wool over everybody's eyes and win the game?
I think it's tough to even really get into Edgic after only one episode where there's 24 players and a new theme and a 5-minute montage. Like, I think there's so many mouths to feed in those first 3 hours that I don't know if I could confidently say, like, yeah, here are like my 8 contenders after episode 1. At least that's, I don't know if that's a way I want to enjoy the show, but there's no reason why Christian couldn't win. I didn't know he was front running edgically, but we really don't know if that is like,
well, I'm just saying that. I don't know if he actually,
I don't
is.
Know if that is like an official stain on his edit there. I know with the awkward dumb
hanging fruit, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. And yeah, when he let us know he purposely did that when he said, yeah, I meant to do that, which is like the funniest joke of the episode, because of course he meant to, but he's saying it as a joke that he did it on purpose to people that are not aware of what's going on, which really sells it even more. It was what a ruse these two are up to. Do you want to start with this plan and idol at Tribal Council plan? I think it's quite fun. I think the logistics of it being a Billie Eilish note are the confusing piece to me. But yeah, what are your thoughts on this plan hatched by Rick Devins and Christian?
It's a great plan because they're going to be the only ones who pick it up. They're the only two who know it's there. So if they pick it up, they can fake read something. And Devins and Christian are the two who could pull that off at the top of their head. Like, Devins could pull that off, no problem. Devins goes in, he launches into his breaking news. Like, he can do that so easily that they can make up what is on that parchment and go. And that could save them for a tribal.
Isn't someone that asked, can let me read the paper?
No, it doesn't matter. Don't let them. If you're on the wrong side of the numbers, don't let them.
Yeah, but if you don't let them, then you're like, okay, that's not real. Right?
I don't necessarily
on
know.
On season 50, I think we're asking to read the paper. And if it, you know, blows up in his face, he goes to get it, reads, okay, I found a humanity idol. I found the clue. I knew it would be here. Goes into a spot, grabs it. I think that is like, you are going to sell a lot of people that's a real idol. All it takes is one of these second time, third time, fourth time players to be like, yeah, show us the paper. And then that plan could really see its end.
The question then is, are you willing to take that risk? Are you willing to gamble with your game and say, hey, I'll take that shot that is nothing, that Devins is bluffing? I don't know how many people are going to be willing to do that. Truthfully, I don't know. So I think that this could go either way,
but I
think it's brilliant to put it there in the first place, because why not? Now you have a backup plan. Now you have something that, okay, maybe now for the next 9 days until you need it, you walk around and you say, okay, what would be the idea if somebody asks to read it? What can we do? What can we play? These are two really smart guys who want to play. I mean, Devin's had so many confessionals tonight about, I just want to play villainous. I want to play a strategic game. And I think that these are two guys who, if they put their minds together, they can figure out what needs to be said. I mean, come on. Christian with the fake fall is just the cherry on top of this whole entire thing. Like, they will come up with something. And I'll tell you what, as long as I need both of these guys, because I know there's a tribe swap coming up. I need them both to either stay together or get back together at a merge or whatever. Like, I need to keep watching this because I'm absolutely loving the dynamic between these two right now.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. This was fantastic. The plan, I get 95% of it. I think Rick Devens probably came up with this plan before even coming on the beaches for Survivor 50. I don't know if it just popped into his head. It's like, if you have a spare idle note, then that's what you should do with it. This happens to not be the exact note he needs, but hell, it's season 50, might as well try it. Like, give it a go. Especially, it seems to be a plan that's like, if we really need it, like if the ship is going down, if we have no other branches to grab and we just we need a Hail Mary. Project Hail Mary, that movie trailer I keep on seeing on Peacock. This is what that seems like. It doesn't seem like this is going to be this elaborate plan to trick people and pull off a great move. It's basically saying this is a failsafe. If things are really going south, I know I have a hidden idol at Tribal I can pull out. And I love it. I think it's funny. Again, the fall and the, I meant to do that, were great. Devens has a nice Jim Halpert to the camera. Mm-hmm. This is all good. I just, like, we are dealing with some other very skilled Survivor players here. And I imagine we have to see this.
When in Rome says it right here, the fact that it made edit means it's most likely going to work. And even if it doesn't work, it's most likely coming back up. Like, they are not just putting this here. And yes, it's a fun thing, but there's going to be a payoff to this. Like, this is a check.
I imagine there has to be, but could you imagine if they didn't, they don't ever go back to it, but this fall was so good and just planting it was such good TV that you would show it anyway? I don't know.
Nah, it's coming back up. Let's do some super chats. Jayburn Aquatics back. Christian said poop pants. Cody Brayman wants to know, I know it's early, but have Devens and Christian submitted themselves as true Survivor legends already? I mean, they've certainly shown why they needed to be one of the first two people called for season 50 and not an alternate in the case of Rick Devens. I don't understand how Devens was the last person placed on this cast, essentially, with the exception of Rizzo and Savannah. I think that's crazy. I mean, he brings it, man. And I think right now him and Christian are having a lot of fun. They might flame out in the next two or three episodes, and that might be the end of them. They could also go really deep. We don't really know, but I'm into it. I'm enjoying it. So yeah.
No, I am too. I don't know how you couldn't. Like,
yeah. And then we had,
I know people weren't really that big of Devens fans because he was just a screen time hog on Edge of Extinction, but like, he doesn't choose who gets the most screen time or how many confessionals he gets. He just was himself and provided the most entertainment for the producers. So, like, it's not Rick Devens' fault. I think he's been a blast this season.
It's Rick Devens came on and did his tell-all with us and said, you want me to tell the producers, no, stop, please don't edit me anymore. I hate this. Please stop. Everybody hates me. Like, no, of course I love that I'm getting that screen time. Like, what do you want me to do? So I'll throw this one up too, Will, because I know this is going to make you happy. Kay Bonilla, after seeing an ultimate boring 48 in two episodes, we can officially say Joe is the most overrated new era player. He simply is not good at Survivor. Will, I know you are just not pumped to see Joe on this season. Joe's getting run through the mud here. Everybody's talking about how Joe's actually somebody you're having a hard time playing around because he can't believe these people are lying. He wants it to be trust. He wants it to matter. He's pissing off Devens. Sari is clutching her pearls. But then Joe has the moment of, I'll go along with you guys. Like, I will get rid of Savannah. I apologize to Devens. Like, what do you think about what's happening with Joe right now?
I don't know. It's hard for me because, like, part of me wants to go, yeah, like, I call this, like, super overrated player on 48. He's someone I did not need to see back, especially so soon, especially on a season that was going to be this monumental. That's what I said during the cast assessment, that these spots are coveted AF, quoting Severance, Dylan from Severance, and that Joe should not have one of these spots. But by the same token, like, I don't need to see Kyle or Savannah or D. Like, they've already won the $1 million. They probably don't have a chance. Probably don't need to see Rizzo, who literally just played the game. So it's not like it was only Joe. But Joe is never bringing it from like a gameplay perspective. He had a great moment with Eva and that kind of carried his entire storyline. And he didn't really, it was kind of one note. And we said that while recapping 48. And there were a lot of people in the postseason or when the cast was announced that, like, wow, I cannot wait to see Joe play this game without Eva. He was going to come on to 48. He was going to be the strategist. He was going to be a Dom Abate type. He was going to take names. he was going to play hard, and Eva just kind of made him play this loyal, caring game. And without her there, we're going to see a different side of Joe. That has not happened this season at all. And he might have even gone more in the opposite direction, where it's like now that he doesn't have Eva, he's like sticking to his original guns even more than he did on season 48. All that being said, I do think Joe had some valid points with this conversation with Devin. Too. Like when I was watching this and Devin's doesn't tell Joe about the alliance, which I can also understand, but like you kind of got caught strategizing, and this probably Savannah has a lot to blame for this. Joe is like, well, why didn't you just tell me? Like, clearly I could tell you were lying. Like, I don't know why you wouldn't just tell me. And I think it's fair for someone to be like, yeah, you lied. I am now not going to trust you. Like, I don't think it's, oh, it's Survivor. Everybody lies. That's fair game. Everything's fair in love and war and Survivor. And that if someone lies, that's just the game. It's like there's still people out there and you still have to play a game based around trust. So just because it's Survivor doesn't mean you get a free pass to lie to whoever you want. People are going to react a certain way and people are going to react in different ways. You know, if you lie to Cerise, she might say, oh, honey, this is my fifth time playing. Don't you sweat it. You lie to Joe on his second time, who played a very loyal game in his first time out, he might care a lot. And that's what we saw here. And I think that's on the players knowing who you're playing with.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like Joe has a right to be like, yeah, Devin's was really shiesty. Now, here's what I think happened, Phil. I think Savannah pitches this four-person alliance of Savannah, Ozzy, Devin's, Joe. That's a majority in this tribe of seven. Savannah is feeling the heat. I'm sure as a prior winner, as someone who wasn't really ingrained in the community, someone that might have an advantage from a journey, she's feeling a little bit on edge, wants to get the numbers, wants to get a four. Devin says, great. Devin's goes to go walk off at Joe and get water. Savannah says, hey, make sure to tell him about the alliance. Devin's is sitting there going, hell no. Savannah is one of our targets. Savannah is someone I don't trust. Savannah is someone that I called out last week as probably having advantage from the journey that she lied to us about. So I'm not going to go tell Joe about that. And so when Joe brings it up, Devin's is saying, no, she wanted to talk strategy. I don't want to because I don't already have an alliance. I have Emily. I have Christian. Those are my number ones right now. I don't need this foursome and I don't need to promote it because Savannah is a target. So when that didn't go through, like I understand both sides. Like I understand how this happened with Devin's not wanting to make this an alliance and Joe being like something shady going on. You are lying to me. And that's kind of how Survivor goes.
Yeah. I think you hit that completely on the head. I don't always like to agree with you here, but that's exactly what I was thinking. Savannah doing that put Devin's in a weird spot. And Devin's does say to Joe, and they're sitting on the log there of, it wasn't a great Survivor moment. Okay. Like, what do you want? And then Joe keeps going back to the honesty and integrity and trust thing. And Devin's is like, all right, I'm just walking away. But it is totally valid because Devin's is very lucky that he actually did have numbers on his side. If Devin's was in more of a middle position, this actually absolutely could have been something that would have gotten Devin's in trouble because it would have been, why are you talking to Savannah? I think you hit it on the head though. And I think the other problem is, let's say it was Christian who saw this happen, or Sari, or Ozzy, or Emily, literally anyone but Joe. Devin's probably tells them what happened and says, but I don't really trust Savannah. I think we got to get her. The problem is he doesn't trust Joe enough to say this and to go this route and say, hey, like Joe, it's okay. Savannah wants to create this alliance, but I don't think we should do it because Joe wants to work with Savannah. At least he did up until this point. So I feel like Devin's couldn't have handled this any worse, but I don't know how he was supposed to handle it any better because he was put in such a bad spot. He almost just needed to tell Joe like, hey, Savannah's trying to ask me if I'm like going to go look for an idol and like strategize, whatever, or just say, Savannah just wants to know if you want to be in an alliance with us. There's really no harm in that. And I do understand when Joe is saying this isn't a bad thing. Like Joe then knows that Savannah is pitching an alliance to Rick that includes him. But if that alliance gets back to anybody else, Devin's going to be like, no, I don't want that. I got called out. What did you want me to do? So weird all around. Devin's is a little rusty, but you know,
but Devin's was never a great like strategic conversationalist. I feel like he kind of put his foot in his mouth a couple times in Edge of Extinction, and he kind of survived on the big idol plays and the fake idols, as he mentions this episode. Like, I think when you get caught in a lie, I think this is something I learned at a pretty young age. Like, I think if you're going to lie and you try to get away with something, you give it a go. If it works, great. If that attempt doesn't work, I think you've got to come clean. You got to come clean all at once.
That, and be right?
Fully truthful. I remember my parents were out of town and we had this babysitter and we were like water ballooning cars, but we ran out of water balloons. And so we're like, all right, we're going to grab some eggs. And it's like, I was not a good kid. You know, I was like, let's throw some eggs at cars. And little did I know, like whatever the babysitter was, like had, you know, two or three eggs every morning. So they go to make breakfast the next day and the eggs are all gone. And they had already kind of were onto my shenanigans with the water balloons. And I think she asked, like, okay, like, where'd all the eggs go? And I was like, oh, well, I opened up the fridge and I took them out and they all spilt. So I cleaned them up and threw them out. And it was like, the babysitter was not buying it at all. It was like, once that lie didn't pass, I was like, okay, time to just come clean. So maybe give it your best shot. And I think Rick maybe gave an attempt, like, oh, yeah, she just wanted to talk strategy. And then Joe is so not buying it. I think that's when, if you're Rick, you kind of have to read who you're with. And that's when I had to read my babysitter and be like, you know what? I'll come clean here. We were throwing them at cars. I'm sorry. Please don't tell my parents. I'll go buy you more eggs. Like, Rick Devins just has to come out here and say, yeah, just come out and say, look, Savannah wants to do an alliance. She wants me to bring you in. Guess what? Savannah, I don't want that with her. She's a winner who just won. We've never seen her play. She has a secret advantage probably from the journey. Like, just open up to Joe about what you're feeling. Like, be fully forthright. And you can even, like, Joe, like, maybe don't go all the way where, like, Joe, I don't know if we have a good relationship. But if you come to Joe and be vulnerable, this is what Savannah said, like, be vulnerable. Be like, look, like, Savannah's putting me in a weird spot. Like, I don't want to work with her and she's trying to put out this alliance and I don't want that getting around. So I'm sorry. I didn't want to bring that up. And like, you come clean. I think Joe is then going to be like, you know what? I love that guy, Rick. Like, he tried lying to me once, but then once he came out and said all that, like, I think then they like have this trust. But for Rick to just continually dodge when you know Joe is on to you, that's the issue. What are you giggling over there about?
I'm giggling about this, but then I also wanted to say to you, like, well, first of all, everybody, this comment from Captain Obvious too. Will did not know you were such an air quotes badass. Like,
exactly. 10-year-old Will egging cars over here.
Yeah. The spaghetti arms Will throwing eggs at cars.
I was throwing heaters, man.
I'm sure you were. But who else, immediately upon realizing they lied or got caught in the lie, who else just said, you know what? You're right. You got me. David Jelinski. That's who did that back in season 46. And no wonder you love this method so much. It reminds you of your boy Jelinski. The Panda of Pizza says you throw a 20-mile-an-hour fastball. but Jelinski is the guy. And I feel like you have to find that middle ground, right? You can't go full Jelinski where it's like, dude, they didn't even notice yet. Like, there's in BoJack Horseman, they find JD Salinger and they walk into the bike shop and they're like, hey, what's going on? And he just turns around and goes, fine, you got me. I'm JD Salinger. How'd you know? And like, that's what happens. And it feels like that's what Jelinski did. You don't want to go that route. But Devin,
no, but I think the distinction here, and maybe that's why my story doesn't line up completely, but it's like Joe even says it. This isn't that bad. It's like,
it's a good thing.
Oh my gosh, there's an alliance that has me included in the majority. Oh my God, like Joe's not going to get that mad at that. All you have to do is be honest about why you don't want to do the alliance and that Savannah is your target. And for that reason, I don't want this alliance spreading. And I think Joe buys it. And I think everything's fine. I think Rick digging in and being like, no, nothing. That was nothing. That she didn't say anything. And then he goes up to Savannah and then starts asking questions like, Savannah, what'd you say to Rick before we went off? And she's like, I wanted him to talk about the alliance. And he's like, what alliance? Now he's in the dark. He feels misled. He feels lied to. I'll also say this, like, if you go off to get water with somebody on Survivor and like, it's Joe of all people trying to talk strategy. I know we had Sarim like, oh my God, lying on Survivor. I might have to say, Rick, strategy, walking to get fill the water bottles at the well. Like, are you that surprised that Joe wants to talk strategy with you? Like, why do you go fill up the water bottles if you don't want to talk strategy? So don't be shocked when Joe's like, yeah, what's going on? Like, what's happening? Oh, absolutely nothing. Like, oh, yeah.
Also, right. Yeah. Also, that, like, Joe is not a good strategizer, right? Like, we've seen that now in two seasons. If you're a basic strategizer at Survivor, where are you going to be doing your strategizing? At the water well. Like, that's where this is going to be happening. You're not going to be doing this in some creative, unique way. That's what's going to be happening here. So I agree. I mean, we have
Zachary or Rick asked him to go, which was the strangest part. Like, you don't ask someone to go get water and then be shocked when they like want to talk strategy with you.
That's what it was. Devin said to Joe, do you have 30 for me? And Joe said, sure, but I got to go get water. So Devin's like, oh, I'll just go with you to get water. And then Joe says, what did Savannah say? And he's like, he pulled the Alec from San Juan del Sur.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get some of these starred ones up here. As we're get off this topic, we've now gone like 15 minutes.
Honestly, it's like it's one of the biggest scenes. Like, it's rare, like a little slip of a whisper is like the number one conversation of, I mean, we really haven't even talked about the Savannah boot or her going home or what are the reasons for. We can obviously move on to that, but this was like the star of this tribe, like this little conversation.
That's all you wanted. Let's throw up this comment, this super chat, and it'll lead into the Savannah. Skylander Gamer TV, if you only include winners who won on their first attempt, the average winner placement on a returnee season after Savannah being voted off is 14.6. Obviously, this is damaging because she just finished 22nd and Kyle just got medevaced in 20.
Does Kyle count in this, I wonder?
Yeah, if Kyle counts in this, that number's very skewed. But all this is to say, do you think that Devins and Joe really did patch things up? Joe does end up voting with the rest of the tribe. It is a 6-1 pile on vote. Savannah has no shot. And Joe and Devins kind of talk it out at tribal council. Maybe they've talked it out otherwise. Do you think this is going to be a continuous rift between the two of them? Or do you think that ultimately this is going to be okay?
I mean, we're switching tribes, so it's like, do we need to see the fallout of this? I don't know. I thought it was also weird how Devins and Christian, to an extent, they were pretty blunt with Joe that, like, you're pretty hard to play with. And, like, that can be true. And honestly, like, I've defended Joe a little bit here saying, like, yeah, if I were Joe, I would be, like, pretty bummed if I'm clearly being lied to. If I go up to someone that I was supposed to be in alliance that never got back to me. If I can tell people are being a little shaky, like, I wouldn't be happy either. But the fact that so many people confirmed it, that Joe is tough to play with, and Christian being one of them, and he's somebody that the audience should trust when he's speaking in his confessionals about Survivor strategy. Like, I will overall buy it from this tribe that Joe is kind of being annoying to work with strategically. So, like, I get that. I don't know why you need to tell him that, though, like, point blank. Like, Joe, you're just really tough to work with. Like, if I'm out on Survivor or any show, any competition, someone point blank comes up to me like, you're tough to work with, I don't want to work with you, I'm like, well, okay, and you just made my job. Like, now I know who I don't want in this.
I'm not
game.
Talking to you.
Now I know who I'm not going to work
thing.
With.
Somebody walks up to you and says, I don't like you. You're like, okay. I don't like you either.
Yeah, like, what? Like, okay. Sure. So I think Rick should have explained it more about, look, this was a Savannah thing, not a Joe thing. And he really turned it into a, you're playing this game incorrectly, I'm playing the game correctly. This is how you should play Survivor. This is how I play Survivor. This is how you do it, how you do it's wrong. It should have been, Savannah wanted this alliance, I didn't want it. I'm sorry. My tongue got twisted. Sorry for lying, man. But, like, this is how it shook out. Let's move forward. I don't know if I buy that they'll ever work together. If I'm Joe, I'm like, Rick kind of just threw my entire, like, game, my entire way of thinking about Survivor under the bus. And I don't know if Joe can come back from that.
Yeah, and we got Cass Burchard. I thought they were kind of rude to Joe. Like, potentially. I mean,
yeah, I kind of thought so too.
This is what got David Kinney in trouble the first time too, where he was like, no, Joe, I could have beaten you and whatever. And he like, and then he said, you lied about this. And Joe was like, no, I didn't. And then that blew up David Kinney. And that's why David ended up going out when he did. Like, he was solidly in that alliance until he got blindsided in that moment. So yeah, I mean, a lot was obviously, this is the tribe that loses. This is the tribe that we're spending the most time with. We have Christian dominating confessionals, did have the most confessionals tonight for those who play along in the prop bet game. You know, the weekly questions now this year, we did the episode with Survivor Analytics on last night. I did. And Christian, you know, he dominated the confessionals there, but then Devin's was second. Saree and Joe were tied for third. You know, like you go down the line, this episode was dominated by this tribe. I mean, we barely heard from that teal tribe at all. And it makes sense because this is where the story is at.
Well, like, it makes more sense because we are swapping next week. So
yes, exactly.
If we were going to live in the other two tribes a little bit longer, I could see us maybe splitting up the time a little bit even more evenly, but it's like next week we're none of those tribes are ever going to tribal council. We don't need to know those dynamics that well. You know, I'm sure there's some relationships and storylines that will persist, but like it's not going to be that same group of people. So I'm totally okay spending time with this tribe and for us recapping it to spend most of our time with this tribe.
Yeah. Skylander Gamer TV, if you don't include Kyle and Savannah, it's still 12.8 for returning winners. So that's interesting. And then we have Kay Bonilla. The tribe felt that this was the only time to get Savannah with her advantage, and she was not clicking with them. The advantage did come up big time here. She kept lying, saying she didn't have one. Do you think she ultimately should have just come clean and said, guys, I got one, but it's a block of vote. I can't do anything with this. There's nothing I can do. Get rid of a bigger threat than me. Like, I do feel like Savannah had her back against the wall here. Nobody knows her game. But I do feel like Savannah made a couple mistakes in this episode as well.
Potentially. I don't know if it would. I mean, even if it had somebody else gone on the journey or if Colby had beat her in the Jenga Tetris game that we argued about the name of last week. Like, I think Savannah had a confessional this episode where she's like, I just haven't found my people yet. And I think on Survivor 49, she starts off. She's with Rizzo. She's hanging out with Stephanie. I forget. She has Juwan, even her and Nate are getting along. Like she was in the core part of that small red tribe.
Shannon.
Shannon. That's right. Everyone except Sage, really. She was really quick clicking with, felt like she was in the majority, no matter which way the vote was going to go, whatever foursome eventually took power there. She was in the middle of that, her and Rizzo. And I just don't know if Savannah, like who was her number one here? Phil, if I even asked you, who is her number one on this tribe? I don't know if you could even tell me. And we just saw her full story.
I think it was supposed to be Joe. And then Joe was actually in with everybody else. But I think it was supposed to be Joe. That's who I watched in episode one. The two of them sat together and said, why are we not getting rid of Saree? So to me, it was Joe.
Yeah. I don't even know if I would have been able to tell you that. I think, yeah, maybe like Emily. It seemed like Emily.
And Corey here with a great point. Sav should have never went on the journey. She should have been trying to lay low. Coming in with a target on your back of an unknown, but then you say you were the winner, you need to do what Kyle did. And I really feel like, look, I'm not going to knock Savannah season 49 game for her going out third here. Like,
no, not at all. Especially like, with the unfair that no one had seen her game. I think she was such an easy target. And that's why, look, you could argue all day, oh, the journey's going to put a bigger target on her back. I think if you're Savannah and you already have this huge red flag, you are a winner coming off the most recent season that no one has seen. Get every advantage you can to help you. If it was an idol, great. She could have saved herself. It ends up being a block of vote. Big deal. She comes back. She lies about it. You could argue, look, if she tells people, they're going to be more willing to work with her. They could use it together. Yeah, but these are huge tribes. It's one block vote. Do they really change their games around one of their potential allies having a block of vote? I just don't know if there's any one mistake that we can pin this back on. I think she was really drawing dead from the start, and she was trying to be as gung-ho to be like, she was trying to counteract that instead of like laying low. She was trying to do anything she can to thwart it. And it didn't end up working out, but I'm not going to fault her for it.
Yeah. And I feel like to give some love here to Savannah, because obviously during season 49, we all knew she was playing on season 50. We all knew that she was on the third tribe, not with Kyle and Dee, which led to a lot of people thinking she was going to win. So I know there was a little bit of a sour taste in people's mouths, and it's not Savannah's fault. Like Savannah didn't say, hey, production, casting team, like spoil all of season 49 by putting me on. But I do want to say, like, now that we actually have seen all of Savannah, we have gotten that season 49, season 50, she is a really good player. Like, she really is. And I think, like you said, there's things she could have done differently, but it's reasonable to think Ozzy, Devins, her, Joe could be an alliance. I do think something that hurt her here, and I know Jenna Lewis talked about it a lot after the first episode, and I'm not trying to bring this up as a negative, but you can't tell me Christian, Devins, and Emily aren't already friends before the season began. They are. Ozzy and Saree have played together. That's a disadvantage. She doesn't know anyone. And I do think that that was a big time disadvantage for her. And I think had her tribe won one of these challenges, she gets into a swap, she becomes a lot more valuable. And I think that her game would have been different. So, you know, it's all about how the cookie crumbles sometimes. I mean, you're on the tribe that loses twice. You have Joe Hunter and Ozzy. Why? And Christian doing puzzles. Why are you losing challenges? Because you are, because that's how they worked out this season. So I feel bad for her. But out of all the people from the 40s, right now, I think on this season, and I'm talking about just this season, for me, Q, Genevieve, Savannah, those are the three who have popped so far. I know Kyle went out on a bad note, so what do we know? But those are the three for me.
Kyle looked good, though, for what he was in. I mean, I will say, like, Kyle looked good.
Of course. And, you know, yeah, okay. I can't believe I didn't start this episode with, we had an evacuation in episode one. This season, we had a different, like, we had a less severe evacuation. Like, I can't believe I didn't start with that. That's depressing. Anyway, we have this comment here, and I forget kind of what it's about at this point. Cody Brayman, Caleb did the same thing for Emily, and it worked for her. So maybe this is about the Joe Devins thing.
Where season Devins 45.
Devins is trying to say to Joe, hey, like, you're doing this wrong. Figure out how to play the game. Q also did it to Banu, and Banu went out fourth. All right. So
a lot of context in all those, I want to say.
I will say that. So we're going to move on to another segment here. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. Always want to get that in. We got a lot of people. I mean, look, that episode one premiere recap almost brought a tear to my eye. Will and I were sitting here and we're like, hopefully we get to like 7 or 8. That'd be great. We're at like 10,500 views on that. So thank you all for coming around and listening to us. And it feels like everybody's really excited. And hopefully this season continues being good, because that's going to continue to make everybody excited to tune in and listen to us talk. So anyway, all right, that's my piece about that. Moving on, let's talk about some of these other things that took place in this episode. First of all, I want to start with this. And I know it's not the first thing, but I need to start here because we're 35 minutes in and we haven't brought it up. We get to the challenge. Kyle's not there. Camilla immediately loses it. Camilla breaks down. We had Genevieve at the beginning breaking down, crying. Everybody looks so beat up and distraught. And Camilla's like crying and everybody's saying, it sucks. You know, you do this all the time. And coach goes, I just want to clear the air here about this first challenge. And the best part is about this. A lot of times I would say that's the way they edited it.
It might be.
No. Here's the thing. Ozzy had just said, I thought I might need to have something happen. My back was so beat up. It was spasming that first challenge. And then Jeff goes, yeah, coach, you were just in that challenge. And coach goes, yeah, I was. And I want to clear this up right now. Like, that segue was so good that if it's not edited purposefully, or if it was edited purposely, good on the editors. But the segue just felt so real. And you saw everybody laughing, and then you even see Camilla just being like, how did we get here? It's incredible television. Incredible.
I will give it up, maybe not to the editors or post producers, but the producers in the field. Here's my theory on how this shook out. I think coach was very livid about how Ozzy described the events of the challenge to Mike White in the previous episode. And Mike returns to camp and coach is just like, this is not okay. He's dishonoring my name, my dignity, my integrity. And he is saying, probably in an interview or to a producer on his beach, like, hey, at the challenge, I'm going to come and speak out about what really went down at that Exile challenge. And I don't care. I'm going to clear the air and do this. Little does coach know at this point, there's been a tragic medical evacuation. So coach is firing himself up, letting producers know that he's going to do this. The producers let Jeff know, like, hey, I know we got to address the Kyle thing, but just want to prepare you, Jeff. Coach is going to have a piece to say to Ozzy about what happened. And of course, this is TV gold. It's not like, no, this isn't appropriate. Let's do it after the challenge. It's like, no, this is when they chat. I don't think after the challenge would be appropriate either, because we have one team that's, you know, losing or two teams winning. Yeah. That's the business at hand. Like, we got to take care of this. And so what I think happens is Jeff segues this on purpose, where he goes to Ozzy to get a perspective on Kyle and how hard it is. and then goes to Coach after, knowing Coach has this locked and loaded and know that this is going to be great TV. And why do we love Coach? Like his kind of lack of self-awareness, his delusion, you know, not fully aware of the moment or what's going on. We're having this like sad, tragic send off to Kyle, a very emotional and touching moment, especially if two players out there who played with him very recently. And for Coach just to make it all about him and all about his honor and his integrity, which didn't even really make sense. Like Coach kept saying true things, but he'd say them in a way and be like, yeah, I stole the key from you. That is why I am honorable and I have integrity. It like wasn't adding up, but same, it's like Coach Wade. Math. It's like Coach integrity math. We're like, that's why we love Coach since Tokenshin, since season 18, where he is going to believe that he is justified in anything that he does, even though when he explicitly tells you his actions are like not that great, not that honorable. So this was just an all-time Coach moment. I think that's probably how it shook out.
And then Cody Brayman, Ozzie's clapback was gold as well when he says same old Coach Wade and Ozzie goes, yeah, it's the same one I played with in South Pacific.
Yeah, last time I played with him, same exact coach. Oh,
it's so good. And then we also, though, we can't overstate this. Patrick Day Stahl with a great point. Ozzie was comparing back spasms to a torn Achilles. That is, I do appreciate that is getting at least acknowledged here.
Yeah, but I mean, Jeff throws the question to him. Ozzie's a challenge beast. Kyle got hurt in the challenge. Like, what is Ozzie supposed to make up? He also tore his Achilles. I think he was saying, I've gotten old. Like I was in pain during that challenge and like, it's hard. And the question that Ozzie got wasn't compare your an injury you've had to an Achilles. He got people at home. They say this isn't real. They say it's not that hard. Can you tell everybody how hard it is? So Ozzie's just leveling and being like, yeah, I mean, I was up there in that challenge grueling. And again, I think Jeff knew what he was doing. He was going to Ozzie wanting him to talk about that challenge, knowing that Coach is going to pipe in.
Yeah, of course. Cabo Nia, don't ever question Coach, a.k.a. the Dragon Slayer.
That's right.
So this was a fun moment, obviously. Like, it's sad with Kyle. You know, you get the reaction from Camilla. That was great. You get the explanation from Camilla. And then we launch into this challenge. And look, I know that we've seen both of the challenges that were in this episode in recent seasons of Survivor. So I'm not going to sit here and be like, wow, like this reinvented the wheel. But it's amazing what happens when you're watching the challenges be performed by people who are like good at challenges. Jonathan and Savannah with the dives and then like the underwater shots on this were incredible. Like Survivor just feels so back. And I know that there's moments like this that'll happen, but like you need to have a Jonathan Young type on the seasons. Like you do, you just have to, and you have to have, you know, I think about in the immunity challenge, Colby dragging that snake. I was 9 years old again. Like that was the coolest shit that had ever happened. I was texting everybody. I'm like, Colby better win this damn game. Like he barely spoke this episode and I got everything I needed from Colby. The thought that they're putting into these challenges, I know that we've seen a lot of them, but even Aubrey jumping and missing, like that was fun. Her just landing flat on her face. Cool shots. Why don't people learn how to dive before the game? Obviously, she wasn't diving there, but there are some people who just simply cannot dive. But
I mean, that's a pretty high jump. Like I know how to dive from like a reasonable height, but like if you overcorrect or if you undercorrect, it's a belly flop. If you overcorrect, it's a back flop and you could maybe hurt your neck or head, especially from like a height. It's probably like what, 10 to 12 feet in the air. So like, I don't know if I'm diving off that platform.
Jonathan didn't give a shit. Jonathan dove down. That was the smoothest dive ever. And then he picked up, he clipped him at the same time. And I got to give Savannah credit. She did the same thing. So yeah, I mean, I just love
that challenge was awesome.
That challenge was awesome. And honestly, I think both challenges were awesome and they're big, they're grand. It's not, oh, you know, one person do this and then let's go do a puzzle. I mean, we haven't had a puzzle. Like we didn't have a puzzle tonight. We had a puzzle in episode one. We didn't have a puzzle tonight. We had two massive challenges. That's fun for me. We're watching people throw rings. Everybody ended up in the water except for Camilla. We don't see Camilla in the water. I know that she probably did get in the water. We don't see her in the water. And I know they had the really crazy high aerial shot, but that could be a B shot too. So I'm not buying, like I didn't see Camilla in. So all 21 other players counted for the prop bet game.
Oh, but, I was like, where are you going with this?
Yeah, I do. I got to get the prop bets mentioned in here as we go, but I just,
like, you didn't remind me cause I was in first place. So you were like, I'm not going to,
It's crazy, guys. You would be amazed. If I didn't remind Will to eat, he wouldn't eat. Like, I live 3,000 miles from him. The amount of reminders I have to send this kid. And then at 8:08, why didn't you remind me about the prop bet? You knew Survivor was coming on tonight at 8 p.m.
I forgot. This is a new style of prop bet game. We usually get all our prop bets out at the, you know, preseason level, not during the season. So sorry.
It was good, though. And there was actually a flub on my part, so I'll address this now. I had said first person to hold the immunity idol, and I had said that it was going to be after the challenge, but I didn't put that in the question. So there's two answers for that tonight. It's Steph, who walked in with the idol, but then because if you listen to the podcast, I explained it as the first person to touch it after. It's actually Angelina. So Steph and Angelina both ended up counting for that one. But let's talk about these challenges. Like, the Purple Tribe sucked at that first challenge. Then the second challenge, they come out, and they win by an hour and a half. I mean, did Rizzo just do this challenge? Like, Rizzo looked like he was never, like, they won this challenge by so much, the Purple Tribe. On that snake portion, they destroyed everybody.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he had done that last season. It's a pretty new element. I feel like it's definitely a new era thing. So maybe whoever had, and I think the tribe that lost, you know, who was doing it? It was Sari, Ozzy, and Christian.
And Christian,
I want to say
Christian was saying he couldn't see as well as Ozzy.
The parallax, which is, I think, something about
it comes, like, down but stays on the side; it doesn't roll.
Yeah, well, it's about your point of view when the background changes. I only know that because there's an effect when you scroll on a website—a parallax effect. So it's about about distance and point of view. I don't really know exactly what he's saying, but yeah, I mean, that's a newer element. And if you have new era players on your tribe that can perform that, that's going to help you. They had three pre-40 people doing it, and I think that could be a reason. I mean, I think whatever – I don't know the names of the tribes. The tribe with Sari has been terrible in choosing who does what portion of each challenge. Like, putting the monkey fist with Sari last week and then having three old-school players. But is that the tribe that has the more old-school players than new era?
No, yeah, that was the tribe because it
so
was
who weird. Are I mean, so like, has Emily, maybe Emily hasn't done it,
but the chat
probably did it, maybe. I don't know.
Episode one, season 49, this was the challenge. So Rizzo has an advantage here, but then why does Savannah not also have the advantage?
Well, maybe she didn't, not everyone participates in it.
Just that's what I'm saying. Like, why didn't they put Savannah? You just said they're terrible at choosing what people are doing. Savannah goes out to run the course, maybe you need to be running Christian out on the course. I don't know.
Yeah, but if Savannah never did it, is that really an advantage? Like, if she wasn't the one actually actively doing it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. No, that's true. But two really good challenges. Really enjoyed both. And they're telling stuff about the characters, too, which I think is also vital.
I think you nailed it, too. Like, these were both great because we know the characters already and we care about them. Mm-hmm. That's all. Like, I remember as a kid, I would, like, be just glued with the challenges just because, like, I cannot have this tribe lose. I don't want this person going home because I cared about the characters. And I think with the new era, it's like, I kind of, you care about all of them, but if you care about all of them, you don't care about any of them. And they're kind of so similar to each other. And it's like, I don't, like, my rooting interest isn't as strong as it was. And maybe that's just because I'm an adult and it's like, I don't need to invest so much in, like, people on a reality show. Where I'm a kid, I'm cheering for my favorites. But it is fun to see characters that you really, really care about competing.
Don't want to invest too much. We did 82 episodes in the build-up. Season 50, you did a Traitors podcast and a Survivor podcast, and you're a producer on reality shows. I don't think you could have any more invested.
I'm pretty invested in reality TV at this point.
So, yeah, I agree. And I actually think what's really good about this season so far, they did do a good job of balancing the tribes. If you would have had a new era tribe and an old school tribe and maybe like a middle school tribe, let's say, like, I know a lot of people are saying old versus middle versus new. There is such a heavy rooting interest that then if one tribe starts going down, you start getting mad. We've lost Savannah. We've lost Jenna. So we lost the first boot and then we lost the most recent winner. Like, that's crazy. And we lost the first season and then the most recent winner from that tribe, opposite ends. Like, you lose Kyle, two winners are out, but it's all been in very different ways. I feel like the balance is there right now because if Vatu would have lost, I'm sweating bullets. Like, I want Rizzo to join Genevieve and Q and Colby and Steph. That better.
And like, Aubrey is probably the target, but now has an idol. Can we talk about?
We haven't gotten there. Hold on. We didn't get there yet. Give me a second. Okay. Give me a second. We're going to get there. But then if Kahlo loses, it's the same thing. Like, there's people I want to stay, there's people I want to lose. I keep going back to this, and I've gotten texts about this all week, and I don't want to piss off the New Era people, but I just like have been getting texts all week about like, it is so nice to see the 1 through 38 people back on the show, and they're dominating the screen time. And I think that might also be why I'm okay with any of the tribes losing, because it does feel like the people I'm least invested in, because we're adults now and we don't invest our time and effort into this anymore. I feel like the people I'm least invested in are the people who seem like they're the most likely to go. And I liked Savannah a lot, but I just watched her win. Going Savannah and Kyle being out this early isn't necessarily a bad thing for the show, though it does suck that Kyle went out the way he went out.
Oh, the boot order, if you ask me, is like sitting almost at a... I mean, I know Jenna Lewis is... Some people are like super stoked to have her back. She's going to play hard. She was great in All-Stars. Like, I don't know if she even needed to be in the first All-Stars. Like, I don't know why Jeff made her the first call. I understand why you want somebody from season one. And I enjoyed Jenna on season 50. I'm not saying I didn't, but out of the people I need to see back from season one, I mean, imagine if Greg Buis was back, or Colleen, or get Hatch back, you know, like that could happen. I know Kelly Wigglesworth kind of dropped the ball in season 31. Maybe don't go that way, but you could get Sue back. I know your favorite player, Phil. Like, it's not like she was even the most obvious season one choice. So I understand why we needed a season one representative. Hell, get Jervis back. Like, that would have been cool. So it wasn't devastating. And then, yeah, for the two most recent winners of 48 and 49 to be gone, like, I don't know if like we could have asked for a better boot order.
Yeah, so far so good. I'm sure that they'll break our hearts now.
Can I clarify the investment thing? I meant not investing in the show, but in the like actual challenges. Like, you know, I'm watching Survivor China as a kid, and I'm like, really don't want James to go home, so I'm really rooting for him to win the challenge. Like, that's how you root for the challenges. But when you care about everybody equally, and how you're saying, oh, well, I have favorites on all three tribes, it's like, okay, well, it doesn't matter who wins. It doesn't matter who loses. It's like, it's fun to have that rooting interest. And I actually would have preferred if it was old school, middle school, New Era, because then it's like, okay, we're definitely rooting for the old school and middle school, like 100%. And that makes the challenges. You're like, no, New Era, do not pull this off. Like, that really would make you way more locked in on the challenges. Like when you have everyone spread out, it's like, okay, well, I have favorites and I have least favorites on all tribes.
I just feel like if New Era dominates there, that's a disaster. So what were you going to say about Aubrey here? You were ready to say something.
Well, this was insane. They go through her bag, and then, like, I think it was that same day or maybe the next day. I think it was the same day, though. I think they go through her bag in the morning. Christian finds the Billie Eilish boomerang idol, which I will stand corrected on. I did not think there would be another Billie Eilish boomerang idol. I did not think that was going to be like, this is how the idols work this season. I mean, maybe that's what they're doing in the pre-merge, but, or maybe just pre-swap.
Then what happens with Kalos?
I mean, we're already swapping, so maybe these were the pre-swap idols, and if they weren't found, they're gone now, and two got found, and that's it. I had posited that it was going to be a different celebrity idol at each camp, but maybe it's each phase of the game. So now that we're post swap next week, we'll get a different celebrity idol, and then merge, we'll get a different type of celebrity idol. But yeah, they go through her bag knowing she's got something in there, and then there's nothing. And then of course Christian finds it that day, sends it to her. She opens it, and it's almost like they know she doesn't have anything now because they've checked her bag. Like, that was just, it was just funny, the timing of all that.
Well, and the way that Genevieve said it, and the fact she was like, Aubrey's being a little bit more careful about her bag. I was expecting, were we going to get a flashback then to somebody else finding the boomerang?
That would be cool.
That would have been cool. And I was really into that. And what, I mean, you talk about like producing gold, like, you know, you were talking about like the field producers and stuff. The fact that this happened and you're able to edit this in, and like, that's a storyline. And then right after, it's like, that also is the person who gets it. That almost feels like too convenient, but it's not. Like, they wouldn't have shown it if it didn't happen.
Yeah, like, because
they wouldn't have shown them going through a bag, probably.
Maybe. Going through bags is always fun, especially with Q, like, narrating it and, like, who has the different roles. Like, it was a fun scene, like, regardless whether she ends up with it. But, yeah, and you would think if they wanted, you know, if Genevieve had actually clocked this, sniffed it out, that they would have like they would have absolutely given Genevieve credit. There's no reason for them to show this out of order in the episode and be like, look, they looked and found anything. Because I guess you could argue there's a world where they checked the bag after Aubrey had it, but Aubrey just didn't hide it in her bag and hid it somewhere else. And they want to make it seem like this crazy coincidental thing. But I don't know. It would have been way better to be like, Aubrey's acting weird and then proving Genevieve correct and making Genevieve look good. I think that's probably a more interesting story than trying to tell things out of order for, wow, what a coincidence. And also, we never got any revelation from anybody because nobody has all the information. There's no way Christian could be like, ah, oh, I planned it. They went through her bag. They just went through her bag and I sent it after. No way. Like, Christian doesn't know that. Aubrey doesn't know. Ha ha, got you. You went into my bag right before I got this. She has no idea. And then Genevieve and co, who went through her bag, have no idea that she got this right after. So it's like no one's aware on the island that this even happened, which makes it even funnier.
When the first person from that alliance gets eliminated at final eight, because they all have to make it to final eight now. When the first person from that alliance gets eliminated at final eight, I will be interested to hear if they actually looked through it after Aubrey got it. Because there is always a chance that Aubrey did get it, was being weird with it, and then did go hide it somewhere else, like you said. Like, there
I just
is
think the show would have told us that.
Okay. Yeah, because then they would have wanted to show Aubrey as being intelligent, being like,
I think they would give Aubrey props for being like, yeah, I'm going to hide this not in my bag in case somebody goes through it, and then also give Genevieve props for figuring out. But I guess, yeah, if she did hide it somewhere else, Genevieve's, you know, the tip for Genevieve was she was treating her bag weirdly. You know, maybe it was in there and then Aubrey felt like the heat from Genevieve, so she took it out before they checked. I just don't think, like, if that happened, they would show us that, because that's far more interesting than a funny little coincidence that we're laughing at now.
Oh, no, that's fair. All right, so we see this happen. Everybody's in on it. I mean, Colby's in on it. Q is narrating it. Stephanie's going down and sitting there. We are going to get a swap, though. So now now Aubrey has an idol that Christian knows about. Ozzy has an idol that Genevieve knows about.
And Stephanie, I think.
And Stephanie. And, well, pretty much I think a lot of them do. But, and then we see Q, and I don't know if Colby did, but Q definitely did. Q telling Rizzo, I don't have my vote. I lost it, to try to build that relationship with Rizzo. We these are the things that we definitely know. Going into a swap, do you think Rizzo is with this group? Or do you think Rizzo's probably going to be away from this group? Because Rizzo was a part of it too, but then we hear Rizzo and Angelina are lazy. They don't do anything. That's what we're hearing. That's their story. Do you think Rizzo was going to be in there by circumstance and like, why would I want to work with Angelina and Aubrey? Or do you think that this is actually going to be something that built a relationship?
No, I mean, we heard from Rizzo that he got the feeling he might have rubbed some people the wrong way on the early days out there, and he's kind of settled in, and he now needs to make some connections, and now Q is coming to him, and they're chatting. He has some information about lost votes. But, I mean, from what we heard from Rizzo tonight, he's like, I didn't come on Survivor to go camping. I came to play Survivor. Like, it doesn't matter who is on a SWAT tribe with Rizzo. Like, he's the cat that's going to always land on his feet. Like, he is going to find his way into some relationship, some alliance, use some information. Like, he's not going to be like, oh, well, the swap wasn't really good for me, so I just, like, I don't know, I didn't really try. Like, he's going to be Rizzo fully. And whether that works or doesn't work, I can't tell you that. But, like, he's going to try and make an attempt to find his way into the majority of whatever tribe he ends up on.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. I feel like Rizzo would quickly go away from Q if the numbers don't make sense and he knows.
Sure. Or it's like, Q, you're my guy now. Let's build something. Or if it's like, yeah, Q's a threat. He's going to be trouble, chaos. Like, Rizzo will go with whatever is best for Rizzo.
And especially with Savannah going out, Rizzo can play whatever game he wants now.
And it helps Rizzo that Savannah was like confirmed the winner of his season. And it's like, okay, we know Rizzo was on that season and didn't win. Now he doesn't have anyone else from his season. He's not, you know, as threatening.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to get this one up because I don't want to forget it. Kay Bonilla, how are we voting out 8 players in 3 episodes, I guess, before the merge or something? I think we're getting double boots moving forward now. I had said that I thought that they were going to first of all, we have 11 episodes left or 12 episodes left, whatever it is. It ends on May 20th, but I feel like they're going to start doing double boots now. They wanted to get 4.5 hours of as much of these players as you could get. And now you have to start getting into the brutal part of like, well, we might lose Christian next week. We might lose Devins next week. We might lose Siri or Q or somebody next week. Like, it happens, but I think they wanted to get as much out of them as they could. And now it'll be like the rush part so that the end game can be what the end game is. Anyway, we got to talk about what's going on with Teal, with Chrissy, and like coach going swimming and all of that. But I want to stay on Vatu real quick. Genevieve has to be just like blowing you away at this point, because you're such a Genevieve fan. You thought she had really no chance. Like, why is Genevieve working right now? She went through that bag and everybody was like, hell yeah, let's go through this bag.
Yeah. And honestly, if I'm Genevieve, I'm trying to like lower my threat level. I think people come into this season almost treating her like a winner, someone that you should be very worried about. But I think she trusts people. I think she got in with the right people early. It seems like, you know, her, Kyle, Stephanie, Colby, that was like the core four on that tribe. Kyle got replaced by Rizzo, and there you go. You have the numbers over there. So, and then obviously, yeah, Q is in on that also. So like, I don't know. I think she felt good with the numbers, but it's scary. Like, a swap scares me for Genevieve, because I think she was in a really good spot. Any of these big threats who managed to find their way into safety on their starting tribes, and you just like throw that all away with a swap, like, who knows where the numbers are going to shake out, or the pregame alliances, or even like the first 6 day alliances, like how people maybe got along or didn't get along, and those relationships will influence how everything goes. So, I mean, do we have those tribes yet? Like, has that been scoured out in the preview? Is that released by tomorrow?
I mean, we saw certain people interacting, but I don't think we got them all. I think honestly, like, if you were on Reddit Spoiled Survivor, they probably have it, because they probably did take screenshots of whatever happened. But like, I have no idea, and I'm not going there, because that's land. That's it's a war
that's
zone.
Blake.
I'm not going over there to find.
That's Blake's zone.
Yeah, Blake will let me know tomorrow night when I'm live with him and Carl at 7:30. He'll probably be like, "Oh, these are the tribes. Everybody's known that. Like, we've known that for months."
No, I didn't look anything up.
No, exactly. But okay, so then my next question is: we have Genevieve doing that. What is going on with Aubrey? She seems distraught on this island right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've seen, you know, and you mentioned it last week, her first episode of Korong wasn't great either. I think she struggled. But once she found her footing, that was kind of her season. This is now her third time playing since Korong, and we really haven't seen her have any control of the game after that. Like, Aubrey wasn't in this core alliance. People are going after her bag. I don't know what it is. I just don't, people feel like they don't trust her. Remember Q saying, like, who was it? Like, Mariah, you play way too much like Aubrey, and Aubrey was dangerous. I want to vote you out because of that, just because you kind of play or give me Aubrey vibes. So like, maybe Q is like, no, big mistake. Aubrey on my tribe, she's got to go. Not happening. So Q maybe turned the tides against her. Maybe she's not. I don't know. I just don't. We've never seen her really fit in on a tribe since very early in Korong. I mean, even, and it took a little bit in Korong, but that's the last time we've seen it.
She just seems like so down. I think that's the thing that gets me. Like, I was a bigger Michelle fan than Aubrey fan. Nobody has said that more than me. Michelle's parents haven't said that as much as I have. But there's something about, like, Aubrey's Game Changers game was whatever. She didn't really do anything. That happens, right? You get somebody who strikes gold. I mean, look at Angelina right now. We haven't heard shit from her all season. And then you get her third game that was bad. Now, granted, she's one of two returners on a tribe. They're not going to vote out Joe. They want to get rid of one of the returners. Aubrey's an easy boot, but she got played like a fool, right? Like, and that was sad. And so I just feel like she just feels like she's not having fun right now. And maybe that will change. I mean, she obviously reacted very strongly to getting the idol and stuff. And maybe this is just part of the edit of Aubrey kind of bouncing back, just like she did in Korong, like coming full circle. But it just felt like, I'm watching Aubrey and I'm going, man, she just feels beat down by Survivor. And the tribe is not going her way. And even though there's people I like more than Aubrey on the show, I find myself rooting for Aubrey, mainly because I just want Aubrey to like have the fun she had on Korong again. And I don't feel like she's had it in her other experiences so far.
Which is crazy as like a four-time player to be like, yeah, I only really had fun on Survivor once.
Yeah.
Like, and then to make this all worse, like, yeah, she found the idol and she started crying and the music was playing. Christian's there being like, Aubrey, I'm gonna vote you out and get my idol back, have that thing boomerang back. Like, this wasn't a gift. This was a trap. So it's like, it makes the whole thing even more sad and disheartening that like Survivor is beating her down. She gets this glimmer of hope, but that glimmer of hope is something that could be like terrible for her game and paint a target on her back. Now that somebody wants to get her out of the game and it's not this gift that she thinks it is. It's not looking good for Aubrey.
One of the things that I'm most excited for is if we do get Christian and Aubrey on the same tribe or Genevieve and Ozzy on the same tribe, is does Genevieve or Christian tell the other person, hey, like, you find that thing in your bag? Like, do you think they come clean and let it be known or no? Because both of them did kind of put it out there as a way to target, as a way to, you know, maybe want to vote them out.
Yes, but I think it's a powerful idol because especially in a season where it hasn't existed yet, where they don't know the rules. I think later on any future Survivor season, if you get an idol in your bag, you're gonna be like, uh-oh, is this a trap or did someone actually give it to me? But for all Ozzy and Aubrey know, someone gifted them this idol. And I think even if your plan is still to get them out so that the idol boomerangs back to you, you go up to Ozzy, you go up to Aubrey and say, hey, that was me. I gave you that. And that almost puts their guard down. Like, wow, I got gifted an idol by somebody. And that person also got swapped onto a tribe with me. Like, I am now cooking. Mm-hmm. Like, I can cruise until the merge. And you kind of let your guard down at that point. And that's where you're going to be vulnerable. And that's where that idol is going to get boomeranged.
And Trav Herra, didn't Aubrey get voted out with an idol on EOE? Like, if Aubrey has the same storyline here where she's like, oh my God, thank you, Christian, I appreciate this so much. And then Christian uses it to vote her out so he can have her idol. That would be devastating.
Big TV.
That would be TV, but I would feel for Aubrey. Trav Herra also says, please get Sophie on the predictions this season. She's supposed to be on Sunday. We just got to figure out a time, but she should be on Sunday. I know she was doing Tyson's podcast tonight. So, all right, we got to talk about Kahlo. We haven't talked about Kahlo at all. We haven't talked about the tribe. Now, granted, they didn't do anything, but let's talk about kind of the dynamic that's going on here and what we did see. First of all, Jonathan says his number one is Coach. Coach almost drowns. What is wrong with Coach right now? What is Coach going through on this season? This is such a he keeps saying it's same old Coach. It's not. Like, what is happening to this man?
I don't know. Is this that different from when he fell to his knees in Token Jeans?
Yeah, because this is like day six. That was like day 35 coming off of not eating at Exile. He swam out. And I think that's what was funniest to me. He swam out and got such bad calf and shin cramps that he couldn't swim. Like, if you're swimming, most of the time what you're going to get is either upper or like in like, it should be like in like the thighs. Like, him getting in his calf.
You know, that can happen while there. Swimming, or I mean, it's just dehydration. He just hasn't been drinking enough water. I mean, that's it. And he cramped up. I think it's
Jonathan's reaction was killing me, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a pretty unique scene. We haven't really seen something like that before, where it's like, oh yeah, the safety boat's just gonna come and bring you to shore, even though this isn't a medevac. This, like, we're not bringing in Dr. Joe. Like, no one's talking to you. Are you okay? They're just like, no, you just need to drink water.
And we can't have you drown in season 50. Yeah. But then my favorite part was just Coach. He had the spear with two fish on him. And he's walking down the beach and he can't even move. But he's got that spear with the two fish. And it was
Someone even says that's a big fish, but if you looked at them, they like weren't.
They were so small. And it was right after the narration of Jonathan saying, you know, Coach really wants to like come out here and have a good time. He just loves adventures. He's my number one. So Jonathan was like pumping him up and you're like, wow, Coach going to go out and fish with Jonathan. And instead, Coach is sprawled out on his back, except not on the ground, in the water instead. That was great. Like, Coach is bringing it, just like we hoped he would. Coach is bringing it.
Yeah, for a tribe that like got no screen time, Coach is still Coach. He's still a star.
Because there was no journey or anything this episode, so like there was really no reason for this tribe.
I think. Look, I mean, we have dynamic advantages The idols so far have been Billie Eilish, Boomerang Idols, which is that dynamic. I mean, they would have just been two normal idols. Anyways, we have two idols in the game. We have a block of vote. We have two lost votes. Like, is that crazy for a game of 24 people starting? Like, I don't think so. Not really.
Not at all. It's going to start to feel, I think, a little bit more obnoxious once they do the swap, because there's going to be people who are going to get swap screwed. Okay. And some of that might happen because of advantages. I just want to point this out because I think it's interesting, being that the Teal Tribe had no reason to have any screen time tonight. Charlie, D, Mike all still got confessionals. Coach had two. Jonathan had three. So Jonathan, back-to-back episodes of three, despite not going to a tribal or anything like that. I know a lot of people are like, Jonathan can't win Survivor. He sucked on 42. I'm seeing a different side of Jonathan right now, and he keeps saying, I'm playing this game differently. I'm doing things differently. They're giving Jonathan, the guy who easily could have just been there to be the physical powerhouse, a good amount of screen time. And I talk about this a lot. Like, I talked about this with Michelle. I talked about it with Gabler. When you're getting screen time that doesn't need to be there, that's always more telling of like them setting you up than screen time of like circumstantial Ozzy getting 19 last week. Well, yeah, Ozzy got 19 last week because he went on the journey. His tribe lost. He got the Billie Eilish Boomerang Idol. Like, he was so impacted by things outside of his control. You go and you look over here, like, what, because Coach was floating in the water, you could have easily just given anybody those confessionals. You're giving three to Jonathan, and you're making sure Jonathan's telling the
Jonathan audience. Saved his life. What are you talking about?
No, the guy in the boat saved his
life. Yeah, but who called the boat?
The boat was there.
Jonathan called and waved it down. That boat's not there. They have to do the beauty shots. They have to get the drone out there.
I'm still just saying them giving him this type of screen time, I think is just.
Well, I'll say this. I know. I think it's interesting, something to note, and like hopefully this like leads somewhere. But it's funny. He says, I'm playing a different game this time. And I think he hasn't done anything yet to like actually play a different game. I think maybe he has a different mentality. He's looking at the game differently. And then what he's doing is acting in a certain way that he acted in season 42, where it's like, I'm going to get the fish. Look at this reef. Let's jump off this rock. I'm going to do the cooking. I'll start the fire. Like, he's hamming up the things that people know him for so that later he can come in and play maybe a more strategic game or backstab or lie or make a move in some way. But it's like, we haven't seen that yet. He's telling us that we should be looking out for it. That's how he wants to play.
Yeah, but I think the thing is, like, it's still, he hasn't gone to tribal, right? So, like, what can he do at this point? He can't really do anything. Like, he just he
sure.
He
no, it's fair.
If the editors are making sure that we're knowing this despite him not going to tribal, that says something about Jonathan's game right now. That's all I'm going to say. I mean, Joe's getting run over the coals on his side. Everybody's saying Joe's hard to play with. On this side, we get multiple confessionals about Chrissy being obnoxious. Chrissy doesn't get her own confessional. Chrissy's too motherly. She's annoying us. She's the one trying to work the cramps out of Coach's legs. She's doing all these different things. I mean, what do you think about that? Like, what? Like, they're showing Jonathan positively. He's getting confessionals. Everybody's talking about how much they don't like Chrissy. Camilla and Tiffany are totally invisible. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, it looked like Chrissy wasn't fitting in. I said this last week when she had the scene with Coach. It was so weird. We never heard Coach's thoughts. Like, was it a positive scene, a negative scene, a neutral scene? Like, I guess we had to take it as neutral. But the vibes I got was like, she's playing a little hard. She doesn't feel confident where she is. And that's why she's trying to, you know, put a hit out on D. But, I mean, Phil, at the end of the day here, like, I don't think any of these relationships are seriously going to matter from this tribe, or we would have focused more on them. Like, I think everyone's going to kind of splinter off with this swap. New people, old relationships are going to come together, and it's like, oh, Chrissy, you know, telling the girls to start the fire is not going to be like a turning point of season 50.
To me, it feels like it's setting up Chrissy to get booted in an unceremonious fashion and just rub people the wrong way. And Jonathan's being set up as like, I don't know, Jonathan getting that type of edit. Maybe it's because I had such low expectations for him. I'm like,
no, Jonathan's bringing it. It's fun. Like, and again, like, it's fun seeing kind of a physical camp life person first. Like, I think almost everyone on the new era is strategy first, game first. And then yes, you have some people that are better than others at challenges. You have some people that will have some camp life scenes. Fine. But Jonathan comes first or the physical part of this game. And I think that's why we're enjoying it. We haven't gotten that in some time. And obviously Jonathan is a new era player, but like at this point, Jonathan played closer to season 40 than he did to Savannah or Kyle or anyone in 47 to 49. So
he played a totally different game because he had to play with the Hourglass too. Like he was on a season with the Hourglass. So yeah,
true. I mean, Jonathan's on my fantasy team. He's racking in points. How's the fantasy thing going?
How are my fantasy teams? I have that on a sticky note somewhere because the scores aren't updated yet.
It looks like they are updated. I thought no,
I don't think yet. If they are, good, but I had Jenna and Kyle, so my team sucks. You have
who's in first place? I just want to see.
Is it you?
Can you check? I don't know how to check.
You don't know how to do anything, so it must be you and you're trolling.
I'm currently in first place.
That was after last week, though.
It looks like the points are pretty high, but maybe
scores are still being logged for episode two, so they're not fully updated.
Okay, well, whatever. I was first place after episode one, and I think I got – look, I had Coach, Jonathan, Mike White, Genevieve, Charlie, Camilla, Tiffany, Angela.
Yeah, how you feeling about Tiffany, Camilla, and Charlie right now, Will?
But they're winning challenges.
But they're about to tribe swap.
Fine.
Will's team is like, yeah, dude – we're the 2-0 Cardinals, baby. NFC West. We're gonna take it. Finish like 3-14. Like that's what Will's team. Tiffany, Charlie, Camilla, Angelina are literally irrelevant to the story of this season. It's so obvious right now.
Well, not yet. Haven't gone to tribal council. That happens. Can we go back to tribal council? I don't know if we really ever talked about the boot. I mean, we talked about Savannah just not really having a fair shake. And look, I don't think Savannah should have been on this season. Like, I don't know why you need a winner. I don't need why you need somebody from a season that nobody's seen play. But I mean, we did have other options tonight. Like Joe's name got brought up. Ozzy's name got brought up. Ceree's name somehow did not get brought up at all, which to me was like maybe the most shocking thing of this episode. And I know we're an hour 15 in, but we should probably, you know, maybe bookend it here with the vote. Like, how is Ceree's name, especially for a tribe that, you know, really wants to win. Joe last week said, we cannot lose another challenge. We cannot come back here again. They decided to vote Jenna. That probably wasn't the wise idea. I think splitting up Ozzy and Ceree would have been wiser. Ceree is going to be more of a liability at challenges. And then you're back at tribal council and you still keep Ceree. Do they just know there's a swap coming? Is that it?
I think it's because of the unanimous thing. I think that's what it was. That was something that we talked about a lot. I had Mitch on, I had Survivor Analytics on, and we all kind of came to the agreement that they wanted a unanimous vote. They wanted to feel like they're all unified in case there is a swap. Like they all know. I mean, 24 people, there's probably going to be a swap. Maybe there's multiple swaps.
Probably.
You want everybody feeling good, and Savannah was a 6-1. Joe maybe could have been a 6-1, but Savannah absolutely was a 6-1. Ceree's not a 6-1. Ozzy's not a 6-1. And I think that's probably why they pushed away from going Ceree here. I think it's crazy. I mean, you had two confessionals tonight. You had Savannah saying she's crafty. And then you had Ozzy talking about how he's very average at the game. And it's really obvious because of how good Ceree is. So Ceree had her moments. Like they certainly gave Ceree her compliments this episode. I still feel like Ceree's edit's like too small. If she was going to win, I feel like they'd be ramming it down our throats a little bit more right now. But like she is doing.
Who knows how they're going to edit
it? Yeah,
like,
that's true.
I could see like, okay, this person wins this 24 player season. Like obviously we won't make them invisible, but like we're going to hear from them later. Like let's give the people flowers who are fan favorites who are back in our screens now and like really take care of the earlier boots so that, like, look, we already know everybody. So it's like, if you get to final 10, it's like, wow, these don't feel like the main characters. Or like, why weren't these the top 10 confessional getters? Ding dong, bing, 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 bing. Phil on his keyboard tracking all the confessionals. Like, we already know that.
Sort of nerds on the same season that Christian is dominating screen time with confessionals. Is that what you're trying to say?
Let me check I'm Phil. Let me check my confessionals to see. That will determine my thoughts entirely.
I mean, Christian, you can't tell me Christian and Devins aren't having the best time right now. I mean, that's just facts. But I get what you're saying. We don't know. I mean, Australian Survivor's done so many seasons of 24, but that show is edited so terribly. It's all over the place that, you know, you have winners who will go 6 episodes without a confessional. And you're just like, what? There's really no structure there. I mean, on this season, maybe that's what they're going to have to do. You are dealing with some bigger personalities. Like maybe Tiffany does win, but maybe they didn't give a crap about showing us Tiffany in the first two episodes because they wanted to show us more of people who mattered.
I wouldn't rule anybody out yet. Just like the nature of this season, it's just a different beast. It's a different Mr. Beast.
Wow. We don't need that. Okay. But going back to this vote, are you trying to say that you don't think Savannah was the right move here?
Maybe she was the right move. And if it's the unity thing, sure. But like, I don't know how Ceri's name didn't even seem to be anyone's mouths. Like it never got brought up. And she was the second option last week. It was between Jenna or Ceri. I know Ozzy's name also got brought up last week, but it seemed like it's going to be Jenna or Ceri. Jenna goes home. Okay, let's go to another tribal council. They leave the pair of Ceri and Ozzy still in the game. Like, I get the unity thing, but like, also, aren't you worried about like a pair? I don't know. Maybe they just know there's going to be swaps.
Yeah, they have to know there's going to be swaps. Also, we have this comment from Cody Braman. Camilla hasn't had a chance to lie yet, so we haven't had to see her yet. Also, I think Christian, Rick, and Ceri are closer than people think. I think they might be closer than the edit is letting on, too. Like, I think Christian and Rick might be happy to work with Ceri.
Sure. I think a lot of people would be. Like, Ceri's a big, big name. Someone you can keep in front of you.
This is from you making fun of me. Royal says, okay, now I see how Will was a bad kid. You guys have no idea what I put up with on a daily basis just to give you guys content and entertainment. Like we got to have like a documentary following us around of just Will bullying me relentlessly.
Just behind the scenes.
Just behind the scenes of just Will being mean for no reason.
I was just giving you just love your confessional accounts.
Okay, so this is – okay, so we have it. This is from our Survivor. This is not from Spoiled Survivor. So do we want to go here? You want to hear what the tribes are supposedly going to be?
Sure.
Okay. So this is confirmed from the preview. And this is on our Survivor, not on Spoiled Survivor. So we're technically spoiling, but we're not because it was in the preview.
Well, we've given everybody a chance to cover.
You can bail and come back in 5 minutes if you want, or maybe 10. We might talk about this a lot. Okay, maybe before we do this, let's just finish up the thoughts on this. You think maybe Ceri should have got more attention. I do think that Savannah being an unknown scared them, and I do think Savannah not telling them what the advantage was is ultimately why they picked
it was her. Probably a combination of things. I think there's just too many things pointing to Savannah. And you know what? Sometimes it comes down. We've seen this with Aubrey. Maybe we see it with Chrissy, and maybe Savannah was feeling it a little bit too. Like, sometimes you just don't fit in. Happens. Yeah.
So are you guys, I guess, should we like show this? Like, what do you think?
I think we just read it out. And then maybe if you want to send me a picture, is it a picture or is it a graphic?
Yeah, I'll just copy and paste it. Check the private chat. It's coming your way, okay. But I'm going to be the one reading. Cause that is not pretty.
Oh,
to
look God.
At. Yeah.
All right.
All right. So the orange tribe is Rizzo, Jonathan, Devin's, Charlie, Camilla, Ceri, and Dee. So Rizzo is the only one from Vatu on that tribe.
Okay. I mean, maybe Devin's and Ceri continue their thing. Charlie and Jonathan seem to be getting along a little bit. Camilla and Dee seem to be getting along. They had like the Camilla, Dee, and who am I forgetting? Tiffany.
Yeah.
They kind of had a weird tribe. So Camilla and Dee are going to be together. I think Jonathan and Charlie are going to be together. Devin's and Ceri probably together. Rizzo probably finds his way, I imagine, into one of the, like, whatever side is going to need numbers. That's what I'm saying. Rizzo's just going to be like, I follow the numbers, baby. R-I-Z-G-O-D, follow the numbers.
Here's what I think will happen. I think that we will probably get Devins and Ceri wanting to team up with Jonathan, Charlie, and D because of how good they are at challenges. And then Rizzo will be like, somebody please take me. I think Camilla's in the worst spot. I know Camilla and D have something going on, but I think that if that tribe wants to go strength-minded or something like that, also, though, I will say, you have Jonathan, you have Camilla on puzzles, you have D, who's the strongest woman in the game by far, I think. I don't really see them losing.
Yeah, no, that's a pretty strong tribe.
I guess it comes down to if it is double boots.
I think it is. I think at some point we have to, and actually credit the show for like, we knew there's going to, especially you have to do this when you're at three tribes. You can't really do it at two tribes unless you're doing two cycles within the same 90-minute episode, which I don't think is ever good. It's far better. Do it when you're in the three tribe phase, but don't start with it. I think this is like the prime time I mean, we're down to how many people now?
21.
I guess only 21, right?
Only 21. Yeah, there's 21.
Three tribes of seven. No, I mean, only 21 is like, I feel like we should be through the season more. Like, I think we should be deeper. Should have lost more players. We only lost three players. This is the right time to start doing.
Well, I had said
two votes for at least the next two rounds. Then you're down to what, 17?
If the first six episodes were double boots, that gets you down to 12. And then you have seven episodes to get down from 12 to six to the finale, or 12 to five to the finale. They got a double boot accidentally in episode number one. Episode two is not a double boot, but I'm assuming the next two probably are. Okay, back to the other tribes, though.
Okay.
So then Teal is Coach, Chrissy, trying to read these of who's on whose tribe.
Which they have an alliance, sort of. Can you sort put of. This in the chat for me? Misogynist. Oh, wait, you already did.
Yeah, I sent it to you. Coach, Chrissy, and Tiffany. Tiffany, we didn't hear from tonight. Aubrey, Genevieve, and Colby. And then Joe. I mean, I'm feeling good about Joe, Colby, Coach, Genevieve.
I mean, with Colby and Genevieve sticking together, that makes me feel good for Genevieve.
Colby doesn't have a vote, though.
Right, but can't Colby like get in with Coach, and then Coach is kind of with Chrissy potentially?
I feel like Coach, Genevieve, Chrissy, Joe makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Joe could be turned off by Genevieve. It's like they have like the opposite views on how to play Survivor.
But I feel like come on, you have Coach and Joe on the same tribe. Honor and integrity, baby. Trust
Coach
is
and Joe together. Throw in Colby and Genevieve. That's definitely the alliance I'm rooting for. And then you have Aubrey, Tiffany, and Chrissy out. I mean, that would be ideal.
Yeah, but then you have Aubrey with the idol.
Well, look at the next tribe. Why don't you read it? Because what do we got cooking over here?
Crazy. All three David versus Goliaths.
Yep.
Hugh, Stephanie, Emily, and Ozzy. All three DVG is crazy.
Yeah, and are they going to be? They might be targeted for that, because then you have Q, Stephanie, Emily, Ozzy. That's a four potentially.
Q doesn't have a vote. Though.
Q doesn't have a vote.
So if the DVGs stick together, Q doesn't have a vote. So now it's 3-3. Now it's somebody. From
but
the
who's
other
more
tribe.
Likely to flip somebody? The DV, like who could the DVGs get? Like Christian. Is Emily. Still in that alliance with Emily, right? Like Christian can probably pull an Emily. It's Christian, Angelina, Mike, Emily, and they can take out their choice of Q, Stephanie, or Ozzy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you're going to do a full like predictions and power rankings. So
I am, but it's just fun to look. I mean,
it is. I'm glad because I don't get to hop on that with you. I used to be called in for two podcasts a week. I used to be able to do that, and then I was sidelined, you know.
Yeah.
I used to dig deep, and then
my favorite line from Will every week is, "If I can do it, I'll jump in." Just never. I don't remind him. I guess you know.
You don't remind me.
No, but that is fascinating. Getting all three David versus Goliaths. I mean, obviously, we'll look into it a little bit more. I'm gonna have Carl on tomorrow night. We'll be digging deeper. I mean, Carl.
That's perfect. Yeah,
perfect. I mean, we had Davey last week. We have, and then Mitch came on and got to talk about Kyle and his. He's caked up with that booty. That's what everybody kept saying. It was so funny. And then you have this episode where you have Carl coming in to talk about Dave versus Goliath getting together, Angelina being invisible. And then this weekend is, again, on Sunday, supposed to be Sophie Bellarity coming in to do predictions and power rankings right after Savannah just got eliminated from the game. So, look, there's a lot. This is the timing has worked out. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah, well, maybe let me know about Sunday. Let me know what time, and if I can make it, I'll hop in. I'd love to chat with Sophie.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. But anyway, yeah, I'm excited. I mean, look, it takes a lot to get the community on the same page. There's like no negativity out there right now. People are into this season right now. And maybe it is the fact that the boot order has been favorable, being that it has been two of the newest winners, Jenna Lewis, who, like you said earlier, fun that it's season one, but
very fun. Good casting choice, not down, but
yeah. But then you're looking at it and you're like, man, we are heading into episode three with, in my opinion, every legend still in. Like there might be some who say Jenna's a legend. I don't think she is, There might be some who just feel like, well, I wanted to see Kyle and Savannah be able to do whatever. We just watched them win. Like, we're going into episode three with 21 people that, like, and you're talking like 16 of those 21, like the top 16 people you probably wanted to see out of the 24 when the cast was announced are all still in. And honestly, they don't even look like they're in bad spots. Like, that's the other thing. Even with this swap, like, looking at this swap, the people we were most excited for, Devins looks like he's okay. Sari looks like she's okay. She's got Devins. Like, that works out. Coach, Colby, they're in good positions. Genevieve, maybe not so much. I mean, it's also hard because Genevieve was in such a good spot that maybe she's not now. And then you go to the other tribe, like Christian, Angelina, Mike, all being together. Like, Q, yeah, not great. He doesn't have a vote, but like, yeah, like if Stephanie or Ozzy go, like I've actually enjoyed Ozzy and Stephanie both this season.
Me too.
Although we barely heard from Stephanie tonight, but like I have enjoyed both of them. And my thing is like, but if one of them go, Jenna, Ozzy, Stephanie are definitely the old school players I was less excited to see. Like Colby is who I'm invested in, you know? So I don't know. This isn't bad.
It's going to start being a bloodbath. Like at some point it will be our favorite.
Did you read that right here?
Oh, no.
Yeah, that popped up. There you go. Same there, words.
I'm in the private chat. I can't even read that. I'm reading the tribe breakdown.
And do you think this is too early to do a swap? Or are you good with it? Season 50, who cares?
Good with it.
I agree. If some of our favorites get swap screwed, I'm okay with it. I hope it doesn't happen. But I'm okay with it. It's season 50.
You got to know person tribe is like enough maneuverability. And I know someone in the comments when I said, you know, these tribes of eight are huge. They're huge compared to New Era Survivor. Like they are bigger tribes. Like when you're swapping with like three tribes of four, I feel like the odds of getting swap screwed are super, super high. And I was really down on like the low number swap that we saw in season 49. But like, with 21 players, like that, it does become partial. Like, that's got to be on you to like find your way in, like play Survivor. I think that forces, yes, it's random, but there are so many more outs and variables. And especially when you start with three tribes, I think the swap screwed, like, it just isn't as like, I'm looking back, like, oh yeah, Aaron and China, like that was like a blatant swap screw. Why? Because you had two distinct alliances. And the way you did it, you got to just choose who you got. So, like, I think anyone here with this many people left and that, like, there are the prior relationships and the pre-gaming almost makes it more fair because the tribe lines that you started in now have, like, less value. So if it's like, oh, it's 5-2 on one tribe, it's like, yeah, but you guys were on those tribes for 6 days. A lot of you have known each other for, like, decades. Yeah. Or at least a few years at this point.
At least so, at this point, I mean, the people who played in the 30s, that was 6, 7, 8 years ago at this point. Like,
oh, wait, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, if you're in season 30 that was over 10 years ago.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm okay with it.
We have no one from season 30.
What?
We don't have anyone from season 30.
I said if you're in the 30s.
I know. That just crossed my mind. No one from the dirty 30.
I know, shocking. That's where we're going next with our Patreon after we get through San Juan del Sur. I'm okay with it. I know that some people might not be. It's early, but you know what? Like you said, you don't know the dynamics yet. One tribe didn't even go to tribal. There's going to be people who go into better or worse spots. And did it work out? Did Genevieve end up? Ozzy did not end up with Genevieve, and Christian did not end
up. No, but they flopped. You know, there's a world where Genevieve, like, hits it off with Aubrey, and Genevieve's like, yeah, well, I found this thing called a boomerang idol and I had to give it to somebody, and Aubrey goes, oh, okay, yeah. Now I see what's going on. I guess that could also happen with Christian and Ozzy, but for some reason I don't see either of those conversations happening.
Yeah. All right, last question I have to ask since I beep 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 get in my confessional counts. Let's do the people who got zero, the five women who got zero. Angelina, Chrissy, Camilla, Stephanie, Tiffany. You buy in that all five of them can still win the game? Like, who out of those five do you think has the best chance to win the game? And who do you think has the worst chance? Let's go with that.
Well, the fact that Angelina is this quiet through 2 weeks is probably not good just because we're used to seeing a loud Angelina. Like, Camilla played kind of a lower key under the radar game, came on late. So like, that's how we know her. Still, like, I wouldn't rule out Camilla. Like, that's kind of her steez there. Chrissy has just gotten too much negativity. Like, yeah. I just don't know. I don't see a world where she's winning. Tiffany's pretty invisible, but again, like, Amber won All Stars. Like, it's not like that would be insane. So yeah. Stephanie still can win. I mean, the tribe didn't go to tribal and nothing really.
She was changed. Still relevant too. Like,
yeah, we saw her enough. She was getting mentioned as part of the core alliance. Like, not sure we needed to hear from her. So I'm okay.
Right now, for me, it's like Angelina and Chrissy, it's pure negativity. They can't win. Tiffany, it's nothing. And I feel like if she was going to win, being that she was the biggest question mark, they would have given her more. But Camilla and Stephanie, I wouldn't write off just yet, because Camilla got a big moment on the mat there too.
True. Yeah. And like, yeah, all we heard from Angelina was just shots of her standing in different positions and cue me and like, she's a statue, which was quite funny, but it's like, man, that's not the Angelina we had from David versus Goliath. Like, where is she? And part of me, Phil, Angelina has said like she wants to play the game differently. She feels like she has grown a lot since then. She's a mother now and she's like made changes in her life. And maybe those changes have led her to be a less entertaining version of herself, maybe a better person, maybe a better mother, maybe a more self-aware person, but maybe not as entertaining of a cast member on Survivor. And that's why we're not seeing anything from her.
Yeah. It's not what they wanted to get from her. Maybe that's it. I mean, that's a very good point.
That could be it.
All right. So I want to then, I know we got to wrap this up.
We do. So,
last one for you. Is the coach stuff too negative, or do you still think he was your winner pick? Are you still feeling good about coach, or has it been too down, or is he just kind of being viewed as silly? Like, what's happening with coach?
Coach is being fully coach, and coach has done that in other seasons and almost won. So like, I think it's too early. It's too unique of a season to sit here and really rule out anybody other than those people that are being completely omitted in like, yeah. Tiffany and Angelina seems like I would be very surprised if either of them end up winning. But yeah, no, coach can go on a tear. I mean, we're early here. There's still 21 people left. Like, this is still the biggest cast we've ever had for the show. We voted out three people. Like, yeah. If we started the season next week, it's still the biggest cast in Survivor.
Yeah, it's crazy. If we started the week after, it's still like, all right. So real quick, prop bets, confessionals was Christian. Deciding vote was Christian. First player holding immunity was Angelina and Stephanie. First person, Jeff asked a question at the immunity challenge. I got to just change that to the first challenge, because he talked to everybody at the reward. I didn't realize there was going to be a reward. He didn't talk to anybody at the immunity. So nobody, zero confessionals, Chrissy, Camilla, Tiffany, Stephanie, Angelina, Journey. There was none. Shown in the water, everybody but Camilla. First person Jeff asked a question at tribal was Joe. Mouth blurred was a lot. Potty mouths like crazy on this season. Christian, coach, Joe, Q, Devins, crying, Aubrey, Genevieve, Camilla, and Savannah. So
are those questions the same each week, or are you like,
I'm mixing up some of them. There's some that I'm keeping. Like, I'll probably keep most confessionals. I'll probably keep zero confessional. It's easy though. Like, it's tough sometimes because the answer.
No, I know. It's like an objective thing that someone else tracks and you can look up the next morning. No, I'm
tracking. That's the thing. I'm actually the one tracking this season. Because questions, I write the questions. He just gave us, like, he just real TV.
No, I mean, someone gives you the confessional information.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I mean. Like, You don't count confessionals during the episode.
Oh, yeah.
You wait for someone to do it. Update on Pathways. Update just came out in the App Store. 150 new levels. So if you've been enjoying Pathways, links in description, daily puzzles, level packs. Android app is coming at some point. I know people have been asking, when's the Android app coming? It's on its way. So thought I'd update there. 150 new levels. Go love play that. Pathways.
That's great. Yeah. And if you really like puzzles too.
The Willy and the Philly.
Wait, hang on. Before we do that, we forgot week one. But before we do that, because you're talking about puzzles, Russell Muscle TV, we got Idol Plays, our affiliation, link in the description. He's got massive puzzles for season 50. So if you want to get a puzzle, if you want to play puzzles daily, you can play Will's Pathways. If you want to get a puzzle that's Survivor related, go check out Idol Plays, description and link. Will, we didn't do the Philly and the Willy after the premiere. We're bad people. We don't have...
We literally, there's the Nick one, Snyder, yeah, the one person in the comments always, yeah, yells at us to do the Philly and Willy. We don't do it to the end. And like, if he's, again, I have to be reminded to do everything. So I can't do anything without being reminded.
And I'm doing 5 podcasts this season a week. So I can't remember the Philly and the Willie. So who's getting the Philly and the Willie then? The Philly's the positive, the Willie's the bad. Dude, I'm going Christian for the Philly. He shit his pants, stumbled, got his ally to hide something, drove the vote where he wanted to drive it, dominated confessionals. I don't know if you heard that or not. Like, Christian wasn't great at the challenge, but it didn't matter. And then he's the one who finds the Billie Eilish boomerang idol. He gives it to Aubrey. Like, it will probably be somebody who can figure out how to use that in the future. I think he's good.
Yeah. I like that. I think Devin's or Christian. And yeah, give it to Christian. I mean, recovering from the
Joe, he was too locked in.
Yeah, I don't think Devin's really handled it that well with Joe. And honestly, I'm not going to sit here and give it to Joe. I could just say, like, Joe is not playing Survivor, but like, I don't know. I'm gonna give it to Chrissy. I think Chrissy is just not fit in, and we didn't give out these awards last week. And I think Chrissy really had that awkward conversation with Coach, and now she's rubbing his legs. She's bossing everyone around. It doesn't seem like Chrissy has legs in this game at all. So she's going to get the Willie.
And I will say that if you were even going weeks 1 and 2, Chrissy bad in both, Christian good in both. Patrick Stahl, thank you for the reminder. He should have hidden the idol in Jeff's podium. So this was their second time at Tribal. You think they had planned out this spot? Because obviously you could have done it in the podium. I thought maybe they'd do it maybe over.
No, the podium is just too far away. Like, Rick can't get to the podium and back.
Well, that's also, he's making the comment about Adam Klein more than anything, but do you think they picked a good spot?
No, I get it. No, I feel like Rick put it on a rock by the fire pit, which is within reasonable reach to hide it without getting caught. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I like this. I mean, we've loved idols at challenges and like finding them. And if you're going to get caught, this is like the inverse of that. Like, you have to place something somewhere without getting caught. And I know this came from the players, but maybe there is some, like, to activate this idol, you need to hide something here during this challenge without it falling over or something. I don't know. Like, I think it's fun that they had to place this, and they did a pretty damn good job of causing a distraction and Rick putting it somewhere where it's completely plausible, but something he was able to do quickly without getting caught.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, that's it then, everybody. So become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. My after show tomorrow, I'm doing Australian Survivor Power Rankings. If you were into Australian Survivor, go check out McKenna and I did a recap of this week's episodes earlier today. I'll start doing Australian Survivor Power Rankings next Friday. We also are into Sam Wandel Sir, talking about the theme and all of that. I got my after show tomorrow. And yeah, a whole bunch of other stuff. Survivor Rock Draw. Yesterday, Will and I, or today it came out, Will and I were asked to rank all of the players from Nicaragua and South Pacific based on how they were as casting choices, but couldn't count Ozzy and Coach. That was something we had to do because of the Rock
Draw. It was a fun ranking. I mean, something I didn't think I'd ever have to do, but yeah, I enjoyed that. I always enjoy the conversation's a little bit more silly, a little bit more casual over there. If you want to come hang out with us on the Patreon, we'd love to have you.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'll see everybody tomorrow night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, with Blake and Carl Boudreaux from season 37. We are going to be digging deeper into this episode. I'm sure Carl's going to have plenty to say about his 3 people from David vs. Goliath. So that's it. Like the video, subscribe to the channel. Thank you all so much for listening. Have a good night.
See ya.